friend of Mrs. Fixit.
The IRS is hiring 87,000 new agents. It's not a matter of if, but when you or your small business will be audited. Hey, Mike Rasmussen here. You need to be prepared when the notice arrives. That's why you need my friends at RevRex. It's revenue reconciliation made easy. When the IRS audits you, they access third-party databases such as your credit cards, banks, and your point-of-sale system to find underreported income. In many cases, though, that income is not underreported. How do you prove it? RevRex. As a small business owner, you make a buck, you report that buck. Don't let the IRS or any tax agency estimate your bucks. RevRex does not replace your CPA. It's an online tool to assist you and your CPA before you hear from the IRS. Beat the IRS to the punch. Get your data. Get protected. Get RevRex. That's RevRex.com. RevRex.com.
Hey friends, it's Patrick Casale of the Multicare Group. With the difficulty in finding quality employees to ensure your business thrives, I have a solution for you. Offer employee benefits. Benefits are 100% tax deductible to the employer, income tax free to the employee's dependents, can be used nationally, and are far more robust than any other individual plan being offered. The Multicare Group can help you obtain affordable quality health benefits. We have access to association health plans that offer multiple options, attractive rates for you and your employees, with national access and the finest hospitals and physicians in United States. Call the Multicare Group today for your no obligation quote, 702-396-9449. We have access to all the carriers that offer health insurance, dental coverage, vision care, group life and disability insurance. Allow our relationships to guarantee you the most competitive rates. The Multicare Group can provide you with all these services, plus we can offer payroll services at the most competitive rates, along with the best workers' compensation programs available in the country. Call Patrick Casale of the Multicare Group today, 702-396-9449.
This is Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
The folks at Disney, they just don't get it. They wonder why Ron DeSantis is making Disney a part of every stump speech. And by the way, that's not the way you win a battle against politicians running for either re-election or election. Jim, this story is just bizarre.
Well, people are tired of the grooming of young kids. I think most of us in the 21st century, we get it. We understand that there are people that that have proclivities, as they say, and you do it on your own time, do it in your own place. Nobody really cares. Life goes on. But the problem that people are having now is there was video circulating at Disneyland where a grown man with a mustache wearing a dress is greeting young families and young girls as they go into this this boutique shop at Disneyland. And he's a cross-dresser. And they're trying to sell these very expensive dresses to little five-year-olds and seven-year-olds. And it's just a real bad look. And there he is standing in front of this enchanted chamber and saying that he is the guide for these young girls. And people are really rubbed the wrong way on this. It's bad. People.
Well, and can I tell you, the same thing's going to happen to Disney that's been happening to Anheuser-Busch, to Kohl's, to Target, et cetera. This stuff is going to have a profound effect on our economy.
Well, and Disney's already feeling the effect with the Star Wars brand. They have literally ruined the Star Wars brand. It's crashed and burned. Because it's gone woke, they're losing subscribers to Disney Plus because of all their inclusion and everything else. Because it's supposed to be wholesome, it's supposed to be for families. Again, there are places if you want things like that, there are places to go, especially in 2023. But the grooming kids, I think, is one thing that both liberal parents and conservative parents agree on. That's a no fly zone.
Coming up on the program, Is the governor going to use the veto pen again today or tomorrow or the day after? We'll talk about that. Marcos Lopez, Outreach and Coalitions Director for NPRI, will join us coming up right here on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next. You know, it's just your foolish pride.
Great people to hire is like trying to find a needle in a haystack. It's pretty difficult, right? Well, ZipRecruiter has mastered finding a needle in a haystack, so they take it to the next level. They make hiring so simple that it's like finding a needle in a needle stack. And that's why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. Here's what it's like to use ZipRecruiter. They have so many qualified candidates that it's easier to find the right ones for your roles. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's a lot of needles. So how do they do it? ZipRecruiter's powerful technology sends you candidates who are a great match for your job, and you can even invite your top choices to apply. So if you want less hay and more needles, head to ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios.
From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip.
AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas.
Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters reporting. The debt ceiling package passed by the House last night has moved to the Senate. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says lawmakers need to pass the legislation as soon as possible.
The Senate will stay in session until we send a bill avoiding default to the president's desk, and we will keep working until the job is done.
While Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell praised the package.
The Fiscal Responsibility Act avoids the catastrophic consequences of a default on our nation's debt. And just as importantly, it makes the most serious headway in years toward curbing Washington Democrats' reckless spending addiction.
Despite deep disappointments from conservative Republicans that budget cuts didn't go far enough, it was approved on a bipartisan House vote with Democrats. The 2023 Atlantic hurricane season gets underway today. Mike Farrar, director of NOAA's National Environmental Prediction, predicted 12 to 17 named storms will form, with 5 to 9 developing into hurricanes. He also says scientists are expecting a few big storms.
It's time to prepare. Remember, it only takes one storm to devastate a community. Regardless of the statistics I shared, if one of those named storms is hitting your home, your community, it's very serious.
Forecasters have a new storm surge model this year and will be able to extend tropical weather outlooks to 7 days. Spirit Airlines and Air Canada have been dealing with technical issues that have delayed some of the airline's flights. Spirit said Thursday in an initial tweet that the technical issue it was dealing with impacted its website, app, and airport kiosks. On Wall Street, a good day as the Dow was up by 153 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
It's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly health care costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 29 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE. 844-41-BIBLE.
If you owe back taxes to the IRS, you haven't filed your taxes in a while, or you have a lien against you or your business, there is hope. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Whether you've been audited or face any number of other tax issues, turn to my friends at New Hope Tax Defense. Don't lose any more sleep. New Hope Tax Defense has helped doctors, attorneys, and many others reduce their tax debt and get their business back on track. If you have any questions about how to report your cryptocurrency investments or your gambling wins or your employment taxes or any other tax question, call New Hope Tax Defense. New Hope is not a call center. When you call, you'll speak directly with one of their tax professionals right here in Las Vegas. They aim to resolve your issues, not put you on a payment plan that could take a lifetime to pay off. Call New Hope Tax Defense, 702-483-0220. That's 702-483-0220. Or check them out at newhopetaxdefense.com. Call right now, 702-483-0220.
It's 204. This is your KMCQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Visitor traffic to Las Vegas cooled in April with visitor volume and occupancy rates falling flat and convention and hotel room rates down slightly. The Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority reports more than 3.38 million visitors came to Southern Nevada in April. That's 0.1% increase over the same time a year earlier. Convention attendance was down 2.1% from April of 22. With hotel occupancy rates falling flat, the average daily room rate dropped 3.3% to just over $171 a night. Despite the slowing trend in April, visitor volume for 2023 is pacing well ahead of last year, up 13.5% for the first 4 months. Golden Knights goalie Robin Lehner and his wife are facing new allegations of fraud in connection to their Chapter 7 bankruptcy case. Local businessman Michael Borden claims the couple misled him on their ability to repay $4 million in loans. Back in March, the Leah Growth Fund claimed fraud against the Lehners in connection with nearly a $5 million loan provided to them. Lehner and his wife, Danya, filed for Chapter 7 protection in December. They claim they owe creditors more than $27 million, while their assets are valued at just more than $5
million. KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Stop in now for a premium synthetic blend oil change for only $24.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Well, do expect some heavy volumes on the Southern Beltway 215 westbound in Valley Verde. Volumes are heavy on the 15 right now through that construction area, northbound at Russell, southbound at Flamingo. And watch for accidents, Spring Mountain at Decatur and Hualapai at Charleston.
Mr. President, it's time to get to work. Surely we both agree that the national debt is too high. Surely we both agree that inflation hurts American families. Surely we can trim waste and streamline programs to make them both stronger and more efficient. Congressional Republicans are ready to act to save our country and to make America stronger.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four,
running out. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Hour number three of Live and Local for a Thursday. Good to have you with us as we inch ever closer to the weekend and we inch ever closer to the final days of the 82nd Nevada Legislature. Marcos Lopez joining us, good friend, and a guy that's done a great job of reporting throughout the last 3 or 4 months. He is the Outreach and Coalitions Director for Nevada Policy Research Institute. And this hour of NPRI programming is brought to you by Nevada Trucking Association. Paul Enos and all the good folks at Nevada Trucking Association getting stuff from point A to point B. We really appreciate what they do. Marcos, we're coming down to the final here. Give me your sense, just kind of a 30,000-foot view of what's going on in Carson City in these final days.
So the stress is definitely picking up, and we can tell this just by the fact that all the lawmakers are standing around kind of just avoiding the big serious questions, because it's all really dependent on what's going on between the conversations of Governor Lombardo and the Democratic leadership, Nicole Cannizzaro on the Senate side and Steve Yeager on the Assembly. Late yet last night, they reached a deal on the first budget piece, which was the K-12 funding piece of legislation. By law, this has to be the first one to move forward. Now, all this, as we know, for the last 2 weeks, we've had the governor's office threatening a veto of any of the budget bills unless his priorities were addressed. Specifically, what he wanted to get through was the school safety portions, the school choice and accountability measures, and measures to reduce crime. Yesterday, I want to say it was probably about 11:40 p.m. is when the news broke that he's going to sign that first piece of legislation. In return, what we saw on the floor was that his school safety bill was brought into a different bill and passed forward. So this is a very good news. It's showing basically that Governor Lombardo's promises that he's made are being kept, and he's putting the pressure on the Democratic leadership to make sure that he gets the concessions that he needs. Now, this is a huge step forward, because if you remember, just as early as earlier this month, we had the Democratic leadership saying that none of these priorities were going to move forward. So he is really stepping up to the plate, him and his team, to make sure that they are able to pass these important pieces of legislation. He has two more budget bills before him today that he needs to sign or veto by midnight. So I expect more concessions coming through from the Democrats. And in particular, the last one is the one I'm watching the most closely. There is a two-thirds requirement for that one. So that is where the Senate Republicans and the governor's office have the most leverage. So that last one, I really truly believe, is where we will see the school choice measures be enacted. We saw some maneuvering yesterday where AB 400, which was that large school choice omnibus and education omnibus bill, was actually introduced on the floor and passed out of committee through a measure known behind the bar. So what basically happens in this situation is that the actual committee members get together without holding a formal hearing and just vote in advance a piece of legislation. There was an amendment that took out the normal school choice measures, but my conversations with Republican leaders this morning assured me that that is not dead, that all those measures are quite alive, and the governor is willing to go to bat to make sure we get those passed.
Where are we on voter integrity? Is there anything on the floor now or soon to be on the floor in the next couple of days relative to voter integrity?
So that is the one I feel least confident about that has the potential to make it into law or some reforms of some sort. But again, if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen here over the weekend or today. So with those two other bills, I think we have some chance of moving some of that forward. Because the governor is serious. And when we veto this budget, people might be questioning, like, oh, how does that even affect? Like, why can the Democrats just ignore him if he vetoes a budget and just kind of push it back? It's because all the pressure that comes forward from vetoing a budget, all those bills that are passed into law, everyone's depending on funding, anyone, any special interest or just government agencies that are depending on that to get it finished, are all coming down to the Democrats and saying, just give the governor what he wants. He has some good policy. We have to make sure that we keep the pressure on and really just coalesce around this group of Senate Republicans. I think they have done a great job so far holding together, and that message has come out clearly. There is more infighting right now on the Democratic side within their caucuses, privately members I've discussed. They're just wondering, why can't we just get this wrapped up and move it out, which is something that, you know, in past legislative sessions, we haven't seen this type of unity on the Republican side and this amount of disarray on the Democratic one.
Let me just ask you, I want to double back on this, because this was very concerning yesterday when we learned that the school choice provisions had been taken out of AB 400, which was the big omnibus education bill. What assurances do we have, or do we know how these school choice provisions will get back into a bill, maybe not an education bill, but a bill?
So we do have those assurances from Republican leaders. All this morning I was chasing them down, trying to get some information of what is going on. I was extremely concerned when I saw that kind of occur, but I understand that this is also part of a larger deal making that is going on. I still believe that this fifth and final budget bill, which is Assembly Bill 521, which is the capital improvement program, will be the crucial piece where we will likely see those opportunity scholarships and the Office of School Choice come back. Either it will be attached to a separate bill that has been introduced that is just opportunity scholarships, and likely we'll see some adjustments to that bill to make sure that there is more funding for the program, and then an amendment to add the removed pieces of AB 400 to it. And the reason I believe this, again, that last bill requires two-thirds votes in the Senate. It's stuck in the Senate right now. And all the Republicans that I've spoken to are saying, we are a no unless the governor is happy with the package that he's getting. And my assurances, speaking from people who've spoken to the governor and his staff, is that if he doesn't get the opportunity scholarships taken care of, he will veto that piece of legislation, and the Republicans in the Senate will not vote for it.
What about AB 522? And that is one of those bills that has to be signed by midnight. I think it's midnight tonight. It has the state employee pay bill in it. Do you know, is the governor going to sign it, veto it, or otherwise?
I think it all depends how these negotiations go on today. And the fact that they're even getting together and negotiating on this is a positive sign. And I expect more concessions from the Democrats to try to get some of their priorities across the board. I mean, it's been kind of a nasty month, particularly the last 2 weeks. I mean, we've had bills that were killed that were good policy just as a way to get retribution on Republicans. In particular, I'm thinking that there were three separate bills that were brought forward by Assemblywoman Kasama down south that were killed simply because it was her as the sponsor. These are bills that passed the assembly almost unanimous support on all of them. And the fact that that's been going on, it's kind of a retribution of the fact that they are forcing these discussions right now and they're not happy about it, which bodes well for both the governor's team and the legislative staff on the Republican side, because that means that they are putting the pressure on the Democrats and they are capitulating slowly. The question is, how big will these concessions be? And I think over the next couple hours and the next couple days, we'll have a better idea.
Let me ask you, what is there that constituents, voters, citizens can do across the state? Is it a matter of trying to be supportive of the governor or of the Republicans in the House and the Assembly? What is it we need to do at this point with only a couple of days remaining?
I think it's exactly what people should be doing. It should be focused on sending two distinct messages. The first one to the conservatives in the Senate and to the governor's office is that we stand with you. We support, you know, any vetoes of these budgets and any special session that might ensue because of those vetoes unless we're able to get these priorities passed forward. The second message should be to the Democratic caucus members and being very clear that we support this. Like, the people of Nevada are standing with the governor. He was elected to be a check on this runaway progressive policies that we've been seeing under the Sisolak administration, and the fact that he's holding true to those, we're seeing a almost rebirth of a conservative backbone in Carson City, which is good and bodes well for our future sessions moving forward.
I want to ask you, as far as the governor himself, has he made many statements? Did he make any statements relative to the two bills he signed last night?
So, most of the statements were positive because that was the K-12 funding bill. And within it, you know, we saw the largest investment in our education system that we have seen in a long time. It was a $2 billion increase. And of course, we can have more detailed policy discussions of, you know, where is the money going? But in general, the way that he's putting this forward is he first and foremost wants to make sure that we have a fiscally responsible budget. And I do believe that the moves that we're making in these other pieces of budget bills is a positive one. And generally, we're seeing a positive tone coming out from both his chief of staff, Ben Kieckhefer, and the governor, that they are confident they will continue to get concessions from the Democrats moving forward. And that this isn't over, which is the most important thing that message I'm hearing, is that this is not over. They're going to keep fighting until the end. We're here at the deadline coming up 4 to 5 days from now. On Monday is the last day for the legislative session. And this is, as always, we know this is when all the work gets done.
Again, Marcos Lopez joining us, the Outreach and Coalitions Director for Nevada Policy Research Institute. Are there any other bills that are in that category of they have to be signed by tonight or else?
So there is a few different bills, and we've reached out to the governor's office and a letter of some bills that we would like to see both signed and vetoed. Among them that we're supporting, one of them is the Teacher Interstate Mobility Act, which will help increase the supply of teachers in our state by streamlining the barriers that they face if you're licensed in a different state. There's a bill in education that helps improve accountability by making sure that principals that are hired for the first time are at-will employees. So that means for the first 3 years that they're employed by any school district, if they're failing as a principal, that they can be fired or terminated for failure to perform. Bills that we're asking for him to veto that are coming up that hopefully we'll get some action on today is the ban on fluorescent light bulbs that was brought forward, and different bills on prevailing wages. And we're also keeping track on AB 250, which will hopefully get a veto here soon if it hasn't already this morning, which is the prescription price controls bill that they were trying to push forward.
And explain what's going to happen in these final days. You've been through this before. What is going to happen in this frantic race to sine die?
So right now, the most important thing is the budget, right? Here in the next coming days, there's three top items that are going to be taken care of. First is wrapping up those budgets, make sure those get through. This last one, again, has not passed the Senate, so that clock for him to veto or pass has not started yet. The next thing is any bills that are exempt, which there are quite a few of exempt bills yet still that have not received any vote or are still working in their ways to the different money committees. Those exemptions are going to start running out here pretty soon. The pressure is going to come out. For lobbyists who are pushing some of those exempt bills, you can already see the stress on their face, trying to figure out what's going to happen. And everything is being overshadowed by this whole budget fight going on with the governor's office. So for the next weekend, I promise you, they're going to be in and out sporadically in meetings. Most of these meetings are probably going to take floor sessions at night. Last night's deal was struck at the 11th hour, and literally they had a floor session around 1 a.m., and that's when all the senators shortly after that were able to go home. So this will be it's going to be late mornings unless you're in the money committee for legislators, and it's going to be long nights as they try to figure out and get all these votes through. There's still a lot of bills that need to be voted on.
And what does that mean about the possibility of a special session? Getting these two major bills out of the way last night, does that mean that maybe we won't need a special session?
I think that is an indicator that, yes, that we will likely have not see a special session coming forward unless we call a special session to deal with either the Sony Pictures film tax credit deal of $4 billion over 20 years, or if we tackle the construction of the new stadium for the A's in the Las Vegas Strip. I think those are the two that are most likely to cause a special session, just because everything else is taking back seat right now to the overarching fight on education.
And you touched on it, but I want to dig down a little bit. Where are we on the baseball stadium bill? Is it in legislative language? Has it been presented? Has it had hearings? Where are we?
Yes. So we finally had a hearing on that this past Monday, I want to say. They've been in the building. I've seen the owner of the A's. He's been walking around with his team meeting with legislators, trying to whip some votes for it. I think at this current junction, it's has some chance of moving forward before the end of sine die this Monday at midnight. However, I think it's more likely that it's something that is addressed on a special session, just because of the scale of this project, and secondly, everything else that is really overshadowing even the stadium deal.
Marcos, if folks want to continue to track bills that are still hanging fire, how can they do it, and where can folks go?
Yeah, so I encourage everyone to go to nevadapolicy.org and actually sign up for our email alerts. We are doing currently up-to-date updates as they come in real time on particularly the school choice piece of legislation and the budget fights. We actually sent out an update this morning kind of rehashing the deal once we kind of figured out what it was late last night. And we'll continue to update people through the weekend because over these next 4 days, there's going to be a lot going on. So I encourage everyone to go to nevadapolicy.org and sign up for our email alerts.
You are going to be one busy guy. Marcos Lopez, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again either later tomorrow or maybe Monday or Tuesday.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Kevin. Take care.
There you go. Marcos Lopez, the Outreach and Coalitions Director for Nevada Policy Research Institute. In this hour, brought to you by Nevada Trucking Association. Great people getting stuff from point A to point B. I love these people. They are wonderful. Thank you for all you do. Stay with us. More to do as we continue. We are sprinting to the finish line today, right here on AM 670 KMZQ.
The revolution is being broadcast. Wayne Allen Root, this afternoon, 3 to 6, on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio, done right.
I'm little Timmy. I'm a tax person. I know numbers good. What are deductions? Audits sound fun. Let's get an audit.
You wouldn't let little Timmy do your taxes because he's not an expert and would get you arrested for tax evasion. So when your car needs repair, stick with the experts at Meineke Car Care Centers, your one-stop shop for total car care. Get a basic oil change starting at $24.95. Meineke, doing car care right. At participating locations, terms and conditions apply.
The IRS is hiring 87,000 new agents. It's not a matter of if, but when you and your small business will be audited. You need to be prepared when the notice arrives. That's why you need my friends at RevRex. It's revenue reconciliation made easy. When the IRS audits you, they access third-party databases such as credit cards, banks, and your point of